And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace we may walk into your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First lesson is from Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall there be any ravishing beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors as an example of suffering and patience. Beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to await another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I would love to invite children to come on forward. Here she comes. Well, hello. And here they come. And well, hello. She's like the last. He got me wet one. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy Advent. Right? A couple of weeks ago, I came by with a couple of different Advent calendars, right? Things that are supposed to help you count down from the beginning of December to the 24th or the 25th. And I had that one from Minnesota, and I was worried about canned fish, right? Well, there has been no canned fish. Thank you. It's been candy. Chocolates and cotton candy, there was makings for s'mores, all kinds of interesting things, all right? But today is the 1-2-3rd Sunday in Advent. That's how we mark the time here in the church. And this third Sunday in Advent has a special name, Gaudete. Anyone know what that means? Gaudete. Rejoice! Today is a day about joy. All right, we've been 3 weeks into this, all right? Anticipating Jesus coming, waiting for Jesus coming, preparing for Jesus coming. And the church today says, on this Sunday, we get to be joyful. You don't often dance in church, do you? Either do I, because I really don't dance very well, all right? But we can be joyful. About what can we be joyful? Is Christmas coming? Are you pretty joyful about Christmas in general, usually? All right, all right. How about you? Do you like Christmas? Yes, indeed. And you too, I'm guessing, right? She's like, I'm not looking at him. All right. We can also be joyful about the fact that Jesus comes to us today and every day. That's really the source for our joy. Jesus loves you. Jesus is with you. Jesus will never let go of you. And if we can't find joy from out of that, I don't know where we'll find it. So remember, we're counting down 11 days into December. We have 14 more before Christmas Day. That's kind of scary. But today, we can be joyful. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for coming to be one of us. And we thank you today that we can be joyful. Help us to find joy in helping others. Help us to find joy in listening to you. Help us to find joy in your presence. Be with us this day, and we thank you for it. Amen. Thanks for being here, everybody. What? Yeah, thank you. You guys have a great day. It'll be all right. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, in the gospel, John the Baptist is sitting in prison. John also knows that his days are numbered. John was famous enough and loud enough to anger King Herod. It's just that he's not famous enough or necessary to enough people for them to fight for him. And so as John sat in prison, he was hearing stories about Jesus. And John finally wanted to know, are you the one? Are you? What's up with you? You see, John had expectations of the Messiah at which he was pointing. John wanted fire. He wanted the ones in power to be taken down. And when John had baptized Jesus, it seemed like everything was falling into place. The Messiah had come, and now John was looking forward to that time of upheaval for the good of God's people and for all the world. Yet Jesus wasn't doing anything that John was expecting him to do. There were no confrontations with the people in power. There were no marches, no pickets. There were no speeches decrying the temple and all its corruption. There was no reform happening within the Pharisees. So what is this? Is Jesus the one, or is there someone else? So John's disciples come to Jesus with that question. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to await for another? And Jesus' answer to this question shows that Jesus had a whole different view of Messiah from John. John was expecting the powerful to be brought down. Jesus was lifting up the lowly. In essence, Jesus tells John that I'm reaching the ones who were thought to be unreachable. I'm trying to touch those untouchable ones, and the ones that the world has forgotten are being remembered and helped. That is what Messiah gets to do. So often we too come to Jesus, especially at this time of the year, with all sorts of expectations. Help me, Lord, but not the woman at work who's really annoying to me. Lord, forgive me, but not any of those boogers who carry suicide bombs around. We want joy and peace on earth, Lord. Just please don't make it too hard. Diane was a Christmas junkie. She loved the music, the decorations. She loved the baking and the lights. She loved it all. Diane was the one who invited her mom and dad, her sister and brother and their families, her husband's sister and her daughter, everyone to join at their house for Christmas. She loved all the preparation and the anticipation. She loved the shopping and the wrapping and the giving. Diane was a Christmas junkie. She loved decorating and went to all kinds of different lengths to try to make her house look like one of those you see on a Hallmark Christmas movie. She also volunteered for a Head Start program each Christmas, trying to make sure that all children have something to celebrate that time of year. Diane also sang alto in the church choir, and she looked forward to the late service on Christmas Eve most. The choir would sing, "For unto us a child is born from Messiah," and then everyone would light candles and sing Silent Night. That was best of all. One year, though, things went very much against Diane's expectations. Diane's daughter, Julie, was a sophomore in high school that year. Her older brother, Brian, was a junior, and the younger brother, Paul, was in eighth grade. That year, Julie's best friend was a transfer student named Maria. Maria's family had moved into the area because Maria's dad got a foreman's job at the large dairy farm that was in the area. Maria's mom, dad, three brothers, and her abuelo, grandfather, all moved into a small house that they were renting. It wasn't great, but it was good, and Julie thought Maria and her whole family were wonderful. The second week of December brought some tragedy that year. The house that Maria's family was renting caught fire as the furnace malfunctioned. Now, no one was hurt, but most of the building was damaged either by fire, by smoke, or by water putting it all out. They had some of their clothes that were saved. They had their health. That was about it. And now what? When Maria's mother arrived at the end of the school day that day to tell Maria what had happened, Julie was standing there by Maria as the brothers gathered around. As her mom cried and as Abuelo just stood there with his head down, Julie said to all of them, "Come on over to my house. I'm sure that we can come up with something." And so Julie and her two brothers, Maria and her three brothers, her mom and grandpa all came to Diane's house after school that day. Now, Diane had been finishing her Christmas decoration. She was going slowly, but she still hoped to have it all done before she went to bed that night. When Julie came in with all those extra people, Diane was a bit overwhelmed. Christmas was supposed to be about peace and joy, not about crying and tragedy. And then as they were all milling about, Julie came up with the idea that Maria's family could stay there at Diane's house until something more permanent could be figured out. Diane was stunned by the thought of it. Seven more people living in her house for God only knows how long. And yet when Julie said it, you could see the relief in Mrs. Gonzalez's eyes. Could they do this? Should they do this? What would happen to Christmas and all of Diane's expectations of baking and listening to Christmas music, shopping, and all the rest? Diane needed some time to think. She needed to talk to Pastor Brad. And so she invited Maria and her family to stay for dinner. She then quickly called her husband to warn him of the large crowd that was at the house and told him to pick up some pizzas on his way home. With Julie and Maria and the Gonzalez's temporarily taken care of, Diane called Pastor Brad. She told him of the tragic fire, but he had heard already. And then Diane told him about Julie's crazy idea. "Has she lost her mind, Pastor?" she asked. "What do you think, Diane? Julie and Maria are close this year, and Julie knows how much you care," Pastor Brad responded. "But Pastor, it's Christmas time. You know how busy I get with all the baking and the cooking and the entertaining. I don't know if I can do this and all the rest of the stuff as well." Pastor Brad said, "I will talk to the social service people, Red Cross and all the like. But they're going to be strapped this time of year as well. I will also talk to the women's group, the youth, the men's league here at church. They may be able to help you if you can take the lead on this." And there it was. If you, Diane, can take the lead. And she didn't know if she could. She didn't even know if she wanted to. And yet she also didn't know if she couldn't. Could she say no? She remembered the relief on Mrs. Gonzalez's face, and so she said, "Okay, Pastor, I will give it my best. Do you have any idea how long this might last?" Pastor Brad chuckled and said, "I have no idea right now, but I will work on finding out for you, with you. I'll talk to the Red Cross, to the landlord. We should all have some better idea by Monday next." Bless you, Diane. I know that this is a lot, but I also know that there was no one who could do this better than you. And Pastor Brad hung up. No one could do it better. Diane wasn't so sure about that, but she had surely stepped into it now. And as her husband got home with the pizzas, Mr. Gonzalez arrived to help bring in the dinner. And they all sat down to pizza and to talk about the Gonzalez's staying there with them. Diane said, "It's going to be crowded for all of you. I'm sorry about that." Mrs. Gonzalez, whose name was Celestina, smiled and she said, "You should have seen where I lived when I was growing up in Mexico before I met Bruno. We had 14 people living in 5 rooms." Diane looked shocked at that reality and said, "Well, if that's the case, then the basement shouldn't be too awful. There's a living room, there are 2 spare rooms and a bathroom for you to share down there. But I'm sure that Julie's going to want Maria to stay with her." And the two girls smiled with their heads already together, giggling, with tears in his eyes. Bruno said, that would be wonderful and more than we could have ever expected or even hoped for. We can help with cooking and cleaning and anything you need. Your house is so beautiful and it's all decorated. Thank you so very much. This is such a blessing. That night, as Diane was brushing her teeth with 7 extra people living in the house, she prayed for strength and that this whole situation wouldn't be too long. That weekend, everybody went to church. Even Maria's abuelo came with. Pastor Brad preached about John the Baptist and his expectations of Jesus. Pastor Brad said that John expected Jesus to do and to be things that Jesus didn't seem to be about at all. Jesus was more about helping the helpless and saving the lost than he was about changing the temple or the Pharisees. As Diane heard Pastor Brad that morning, she realized that she too was expecting Jesus and maybe even the whole Christmas season to be about things that she wanted. Now, she had a chance to do what Jesus was all about, helping those that the world was forgetting. She knew it was still going to be hard, but she didn't seem to mind the hard as much anymore. That day she called all of her family and told them that they were still supposed to come and celebrate Christmas, but that there was going to be more guests with them that year. Then she asked Celestina about Christmas traditions from their family or even from Mexico and if there was any kind of special food that they were hoping for. They decorated the basement, and that Christmas was about anything but what Diane had been expecting. There was not a silent night around, or there wasn't also too much heavenly peace, but there was a lot of joy that year, in spite of everything. That Christmas day, they sat down to ham and au gratin potatoes with corn casserole, as usual, but they also had tamales and rosca de rejos, which is a fruited bread with a little baby Jesus figurine baked in the middle of it. And if you got the baby Jesus figurine, then you had luck the next year. They had Christmas stockings and a piñata. Julie's grandpa read the Christmas story like he had done every year. And Maria's abuelo told them all about the tradition of Los Posados, where Mary and Joseph searched for a place to stay. When abuelo finished that story, he told them that now he knows how Mary and Joseph felt, because this year he had not only found room, but also love and a whole new family. Pastor Brad called that Christmas day and told Diane that they had found a place for the Gonzalez to move into temporarily. Diane was actually saddened by the news because she had come to love her family now too. She couldn't believe it, but it was true. When the Gonzalez moved into their new place 2 days later, Diane made sure that they knew that they were now part of the family and welcome anytime, but especially at Christmas, anytime they want. That year, Diane's expectations of Christmas and of Jesus changed. She still loved all of the things that she had delighted in before. She just now had a new perspective. She had helped when she didn't think that she could, and she loved every minute of this time that she began by dreading. Her expectations for the world also changed. She was more open to people and even more open to new challenges. She knew that she was not the same person that she had been. She didn't know how or where it was going to take her, but she was excited to find out. Our expectations may need to change as well. But Jesus is still God with us and will always be there for us. During Advent, we are called not only to celebrate with family and friends, not only to watch out for silent nights, but also to remember the ones not remembered, to reach out to those unreachable ones, to help those helpless ones, and to love our neighbors, all of them. We get to walk into the world with Christ beside us, turning God's vision into our mission so that we can share God's love far and wide. So let's. Amen. Please rise as we join together in a time of prayer. As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. Gracious God, we rejoice in your gifts of the Spirit. Equip the global church to magnify your love and peace in every land. We pray for the work of the Lutheran World Federation and the ELCA Global Mission. Lord, in your mercy, abundant God, we rejoice in your creation. Revive lands we have squandered and depleted. Make gardens flourish in cities and neighborhoods. Cleanse polluted water and air so living things may breathe, drink, and praise you. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous God, we rejoice in your justice. End racism and oppression. Deliver all who are unjustly imprisoned or persecuted. Reconcile nations and peoples in conflict. Help us pray for our enemies. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, we rejoice in your compassion. Comfort any in distress because of worry, illness, or loss. Strengthen and protect healthcare workers, rescue teams, crisis counselors, and all who risk themselves to keep others safe. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness and your health. We pray for Bob, Sharon, Janet, Fran, Phyllis, Carol, Jack, Judith, John, Vivian, Rhonda, Kevin, Mike, Cody, Adrian, Logan, Emily, Robin, and Parker. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy. Abiding God, we rejoice in your company. Keep us calm and patient. Give us calm and patient hearts as we gather with family and friends. Keep us mindful of those for whom this season is not happy. Console the grieving and surround them with loving support. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, we rejoice with Mary, Mother of our Lord, and with all the saints, that your mercy endures for all generations. Look with favor on those who have died and lead us joyfully to sing of your everlasting promises. Lord, in your mercy. God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We join together now in our Advent confession of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for His sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we gather our gifts.
Someone shouting from the desert. Someone shouting from the sea. Someone shouting from the mountain. Someone shouting from the valley.
Please rise and let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stay warm, stay dry, stay safe this week as you go into the world with hope.
Our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.